Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Our text this morning begins with those great words. We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. We have been. It's already happened. In some ways, we could say we've won the lottery. We are rich beyond our dreams. But the words heavenly and spiritual are a bit hard to quantify. Such treasures can at times seem to be a bit of an illusion. It's like being an heir. The inheritance is yours right now because you're part of the family, because of those relationships, those ties. But it's not yet in your hands. You don't yet have the physical reality of that blessing. It's a now and not yet reality. It's about deferred gratification. And I don't think there's many that really like that. No one likes to wait. Even when we pray for patience, we don't like to wait. And we live in a culture where people want it all right now, where many think they really are entitled to it right now, that there is no need for deferred gratification. And to some extent, that could play into being an heir of an inheritance. You know it's yours, guaranteed, but it doesn't seem to do much good when there's bills to pay, when you have a car wreck, when you got to do things in this world. The Christian life is really a life of deferred gratification. God in His Word tells us that the kingdom of God is ours right now. You don't have to wait. Don't have to wonder. It's ours. Right now. In Christ. In His person and work, and by faith in Him, it is our possession. That word in the flesh, never fails. The empty tomb is our guarantee. And because that inheritance is guaranteed, we don't have to stand gazing at the sky, waiting for that day when those blessings described here by Paul are poured out into our laps, knowing that it's ours, that it's guaranteed, frees us to turn our gaze instead upon our neighbor so that we can share with them the hope that is ours in Christ, that hope that is certain and sure. So after Paul exhorts us to praise God for His blessings, those blessings set aside for us, he makes a list of the treasures that are ours in Christ. He tells us God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight. He tells us that God made that choice before the creation of the world. That choice was confirmed at the end of the sixth day of creation. God had created man in his image. He created man holy and blameless. And at the end of that sixth day, he looked out on all that he had done and said that it was all very good. The next three blessings that Paul describes, predestined in love to be adopted as his children, the redemption that comes through Jesus' blood and the forgiveness of sins, and God making known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ, were all gifts that God put in place before the creation of the world because of an event that took place after God rested from his creative activity. An event that God knew was going to take place. Adam sinned. He ate the forbidden fruit. The holy and blameless that was Adam's condition before he ate was lost. Adam was now sinful and ashamed. And all of his descendants would be born into that condition. They would be children of Adam, not children of God. That's why one of the gifts set aside, one of those blessings put aside for us before the creation of the world was that we would be adopted as children of God. Because in Adam, we are not. And there was nothing that Adam could do to change that. Nothing that his descendants could do to change that either. Because of Adam's sin, mankind was now under a curse that God spoke to Adam concerning the eating of that fruit. God told Adam, that on the day he ate that fruit, he would surely die. Death and separation from God was now the destiny for Adam and all of his descendants. But again, God spoke a promise to Adam and Eve that her seed would overcome the power of sin and death. And God then covered their nakedness with animal skins. God spoke that promise about deliverance because in love he predestined us to be adopted as children of God. In Christ, God would redeem us through his blood, through the forgiveness of sins. Adam and Eve were covered in the blood of that promise when they were clothed in animal skins. In Christ, God would make known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ, that he would reveal to us in Christ all that he would do to restore his entire creation to the state it enjoyed before Adam sinned, to that time when Adam was indeed holy and blameless and all of God's creation was very good. These blessings that Paul described, God set aside for us and for all of his creation before the foundations of the world were laid. And nothing could keep those blessings from being fulfilled and given to us. Not Adam's sin, not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Nothing could keep God from accomplishing his will, from completing his work of restoration. To ensure that his work of restoration would be accomplished, he sent his Son into the world, so that the world might be saved through him. As Paul writes here in this letter, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together again under one head, even Christ. All the separation that occurred because of Adam's sin is being removed by the work of Christ as he comes to bring all things in heaven and on earth once again together under one head, even Christ. There would be no more separation between God and man. Sin and death would be removed along with all of their consequences. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, would once again have dominion over the world, not to beat down and subdue, but to restore and give life in its fullness. The Son of God comes into the world to do all of that because Jesus is indeed the seed of the woman who defeats the devil, who overcame the power of sin and death. By his perfect life, Jesus became the sacrifice that would pay sin its wage. Jesus would lift Adam's curse from him and his descendants by letting it fall on him as he hung on the cross, forsaken by God, dying the death that we deserve. By his resurrection, Jesus overthrew the power of sin and death to hold us captive and separate us from God. Paul goes on to write, after describing these blessings, that he himself and his companions, and probably we could include fellow apostles, that they too were chosen according to God's plan of salvation, put in place before the foundations of the world were laid. They were, as Paul describes them, the first to hope in Christ, the ones carrying that hope to the Ephesians and others throughout the world who did not know of Christ and his saving work or the blessing set aside for all who believe. Paul and these others were called by the gospel to be living testimonies to the gracious work of God that restores and gives life. God did that in them so that others might believe through their testimony. And as Paul writes, the Ephesians did. They, as he writes, were also included when they heard the word of truth, when they heard the gospel of their salvation. And we can include ourselves in that because we too have been included in Christ when we heard God's word of truth. As Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, faith comes by hearing the word, by hearing the message of Christ. As Paul writes later on in Romans 6, all of us who were baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. We've been united together with him in a death like his. We've been united together with him in a resurrection like his, through the power of God's word, joined to the waters of baptism. That's how we were adopted as children of God. That's how we were redeemed and our sin was forgiven, washed clean in that cleansing flood. Covered in Jesus' righteous robes, we are indeed holy and blameless. We now live to praise God for the hope and life that he has given to us in Christ, that he has given to us here and now in this broken world. We, like Paul and all the others before us, who live in Christ, have been marked with a seal, a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance until Christ returns. That deposit is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live in that hope, to live forgiven and free, to be people of God, to be Jesus' hands and feet, to be a beacon of hope to all who live without any true hope. As the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, we share to call others by the gospel and enlighten them with his gifts. It's done so that they too might see and receive the treasure that is laid up for them in Christ and his saving work done for them. So, as Paul writes, we have indeed been blessed in Christ. We have been restored to God. We are, by the forgiveness of our sin, holy and blameless in God's sight. That's all ours right now in Christ. And those same gifts are available to all right now in this time and space. And in some ways, it's not a deferred gift. The life that is ours in Christ through the forgiveness of sins comes to us today right now through the words of absolution that God spoke to us earlier in our service together. It comes to us through Jesus' invitation to join him at his table so that he might feed us with his own body and blood and assure us of that forgiveness. Those become the visible things that God's promise is attached to. Those things that we can see and grasp and hold to make those heavenly spiritual blessings more concrete and tangible here in this time and space, to know that they are ours right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, who now lives in us, it becomes now our privilege and duty to share that hope, to share those blessings that come to all who believe, that come to all who live in Christ through the forgiveness of sins. We don't have to wait. Christ invites us to come to him here and now and receive the rest that comes to us through the forgiveness of sins. And so we praise God that he is indeed the giver of such gifts, and that he is at work through his word to keep us in Christ today and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.